And we spent all morning on it. In the beginning, God. And we talked about who God was. You know, it's very, very important that we as a church believe the first 11 chapters of Genesis. It is very important because if we have someone in our church family that does not believe the first 11 verses of Genesis, they probably are not saved. That simple. They are probably not saved, no matter what they've done, what they've gone through. If they are unable to believe the first 11 chapters of Genesis, they are probably not saved. And the reason I say that, because this is very important, in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, God tells us how he did things and how he established his relationship to mankind. Then we come in the New Testament to the Gospel of John, and in that it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, those first 11 chapters are part of the Word, and if the Word was God, and people don't believe in that, then they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's important that we understand what is taking place, what God is telling us, just like last week, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We're going to look at that again this morning. We're going to look at the rest of the creation this morning, up to a point. We don't have time to go all that far, but we'll go as far as we can this morning. So we need to look at the beginning because the world is attempting to deny the creation, and they are attempting to adopt a thing called evolution. And evolution is not true. Evolution is not true. All that we see around us did not evolve out of nothing. It was created by God. And there was a particular way he went about it. Evolution does not work. It's that simple. Evolution does not work. And so we're going to look at the creation this morning just to reinforce in our own minds and to get rid of some lies that so-called science is trying to perpetrate upon us. So we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. It'll be hard to find in your Bible. It's right after the index, okay? Now, there's a part. Why do we do things like this as a church? It's because it is relevant. It is relevant to us and to our faith and to our religion. It has a particular relevance. There's a very brilliant man that God has put among us by the name of Eric Metaxas, M-E-T-A-X-A-S, rather. He has written several books about God and his relationship to men. He has also written one that I really want to get, having to do with some of the things that are taking place in our society right now. But he makes this statement, and this statement was the thing that sort of brought my attention to him, and I want to share it with you. He says, now this is not God saying this, this is a man that God has brought into the world. If you believe in God, you are a horrible threat to the Marxist socialist. If you believe in God, you are a horrible threat to the Marxist socialist, and they must destroy you to survive. That's pretty strong, isn't it, folks? True, true. So, if you believe in God, you are a horrible threat to the Marxist socialist, and they must destroy you in order to survive. That has to do with today. That's what's going on today in our world around us. So, the key word for all of us as God's children is understanding. We must understand what is taking place around us, and we must also understand what God has said, because the two of them are opposed. There's a lot of weird things out there, and I've heard Christians express some of them as a belief or as what they believe, and it's not true. We're going by the Bible, and we're going to take the Bible literally. If God said this is the way He did it, this is the way that God did it, and there's no other explanation among it. At the present time, we are under attack from our own government. They are attempting to install a Marxist form of government in the place of a democratic republic, which gave us our freedoms and our form of government based upon a constitution and a bill of rights. Those things still exist, but our present government is trying to destroy them. Now, they cannot do it as long as we exist, because that was given to us by God. It was based upon God's word. And as long as it's based upon God's word, they've got to get rid of God's word, because otherwise, it contradicts everything they say. So, to accomplish this endeavor, they must destroy us and everything that we have been taught to believe. It therefore becomes necessary that we fully understand how God created the universe around us, and evolution is simply another way to subvert the truth. Understand that. Evolution is simply another way to subvert the truth. The key word for all of us as God's children is understanding. And we must understand that what the truth is, and we must stand up and tell the pseudoscience that they're lying. We must be prepared to expose the truth of God to all who will listen. You see, this is very appropriate. This is very timely for the position for a church to take. Now, in order to do that, we must know the truth. Can't say, well, I heard somebody say. No, you've got to know the truth yourself. And so, this is what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at the truth. We're not going to take what science says. We're going to take what the Bible says, what God says. And it's vitally important that we understand and believe, like I said before, the first 11 chapters of Genesis. If we do not, then our Christianity crumbles and falls apart. So that's why the first 11 chapters are so important. So let's take it day by day from the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, And let's read the first five verses, all right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's how far we got last Sunday. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now we're going to begin at verse 2 and try to understand exactly what the Bible is saying. It says that the earth was without form and void. Now, some of you have studied God's Word. You've studied writings that other men have done. And so you have heard things, but we have not preached about them here in this church. And eventually we will get to them. All right? And we're going to get into this right now, but we're not going to get into the other aspect of it, but I will explain it to you. There's nothing wrong with truth. Truth is never a problem. This statement opens another whole discourse. Because this statement says the earth was without form and void. Now, it means that the earth was desolate and waste, full of confusion. Listen to what I'm saying. Full of confusion. Now, this statement opens another whole discourse. How did it get that way? Because in 1 Corinthians 14:33, we are told God is not the author of confusion. And we're not going to go there this morning. It has to do with Satan being cast out of heaven. But like I said, we're not going there this morning. That's another whole message or many messages. And we will get there eventually. But I want to make sure that you understand. We'll address it at another time. And that discussion will involve the fall of Satan. I base our current discussion upon the New Testament. Verse 33 of 1 Corinthians 14. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So if God is not the author of confusion, how did the earth get confused? Like I said, that would be another whole topic of discussion. For now, let's accept what is stated in verse 2. We have confusion and ruin. We also have darkness upon the face of the earth. There was no sun. There were waters covering what did exist. We're told that the Spirit of God moved upon the surface of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." There was light. There was no sun. There was no electricity. There was no switch that got turned on. So where did the light come from? In order to answer that question, we turn to the Bible, not to science. We turn to the Bible. John 8:12 in the New Testament. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Keep in mind, we're talking about the earth, not the whole universe. John gives us an explanation in that little book of 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So God was that light. That's an explanation. That's a biblical explanation. Then we see, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. Verse 4 indicates that God saw the light was good. And it was good to see by. It was good to shine upon men, even though men didn't want it to shine on them. And why didn't they want it to shine on them? John 3:19 through 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Okay, man does not want light. He does not want light shining on his sin. Boy, Washington's getting to be a darker and darker place, isn't it? And it's not just Washington, it's spreading over our country. There is a darkness settling on our country because men do not like light. Now, verse 5 establishes another fact. Verse 5 of Genesis. Truth that clarifies another truth that man and so-called science attempts to refute. When God tells us that everything, that the evening and the morning were the first day, now listen, he is talking about a 24-hour day. There are those who have come in and said, oh, we're talking about days millions of years long. That's how we got the dinosaurs and all this other stuff that has happened here in the world. And that's not what we're talking about. God is talking about a 24-hour day, and I will show you that in just a few minutes. Why it could be no other way. Not millions of years, not thousands, 24 hours. Let's move on. Genesis 1, 6 through 8. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Okay, when I hear that word firmament, I think of something solid, but that's not what God was talking about. In this case, God is talking about something very different. God is talking about creating an atmosphere of gases that would support a layer of water above the earth and surrounding it. A bubble. The earth encased in a bubble of water. There's a lot of people don't realize that's how it started out. It started out with the earth inside a bubble of water, 5 or 6 inches thick, 50 miles up from the surface of the earth. God made it that way because he's God. You see, God always thinks ahead. He always does because he's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows what's going to be necessary for the benefit of his creation. And this step took a whole day to accomplish. A whole day. Second day of creation, God created this bubble of water around what we call the earth. It probably only took a few seconds to do it, but the time that it took to do it, it all got undone And we will read about it a little bit later, chapter 6, during the flood. This bubble of water was part of the cause for the worldwide flood. Those who studied this aspect of creation estimate that the water was about 50 miles above the face of the earth. You see, line of sight is only 42 miles, and so the water didn't interfere with our line of sight. But there it was around the earth. It was filtering out the harmful sunlight when the sun was made. Remember, there's still no sun. God hasn't created it yet. But it was put there to be a benefit to all of us. It made the earth atmosphere tropical. Once we got that far along, because it kept the heat in, the heat couldn't dissipate out into space. That's why there were bigger plants. That's why there were bigger animals. Because God thought about it in advance. Genesis 1, 9 through 13. And God said, let the waters under the heaven, underneath this bubble, be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the tree and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Do you think God would get mixed up in stuff? No. He knew exactly what he was doing. Now let me show you how God knew what he was doing. He formed the earth. He said, let there be dry land appear. And it did. It appeared in one big continent. Just one. Sea all around it. It had places where different seas could be formed, just like any geographic landmass. So there were different names of different seas all the way around this one big continent. That's all there was one. He didn't say let land appear everywhere. No, he said just let it appear. It did. Okay. Then he said, let it bring forth grass and herb yielding seed. And that's why there's a pit. That's why there's a pit in each peach. That's the seed that produces another peach tree, if you like it. Now, man has gone ahead and hybridized all this stuff, and it doesn't produce seed anymore. At least it doesn't produce fruit anymore. It doesn't produce a tree anymore. You have to go back to the original. They're doing the same thing with wheat. They're hybridizing it to make it less bug resistant. And they're trying to improve on what God did when he started. And they're calling it science. And it's making some of us sick. It even creates cancers. Because so much of it, they don't understand what the result is going to be of it. And this is man's idea, not God's. God said, I'm going to make it this way, and it's going to be original, and corn is going to produce corn, and wheat is going to produce wheat, and a cherry tree is going to produce cherries. And a lemon tree, well, let's forget about lemonade. God made everything to produce itself, its own kind, not a different kind. Evolution says, oh, it all evolved into this and this and this and this. No, that's not what the Bible says. God said he made it to produce its own kind. And he did this on the third day. Now, if you will take a piece of plywood, and I just want to show you how this all works. If you'll take a piece of plywood and lay it out here in the middle of the front lawn for 4 days and go pick it up and look at what you have, everything is yellow underneath. The grass is dying. Now, when God made these things, God made them a particular way. He says, okay, I want these plants to produce oxygen from carbon dioxide. Because when I get around to making the animals, they're going to be breathing out carbon dioxide. You breathe out carbon dioxide every time you breathe out. And they're trying to stop you from breathing out carbon. They're saying carbon is bad. They're talking about carbon figures, you know, carbon taxes and things. You're breathing it. You're breathing it out. And you are helping the plants. Because the plants have to have the carbon dioxide to process it and make, you know what? Chlorophyll. Green chlorophyll. That's what makes the grass green. If you cut off the sun, now remember, there's still no sun. God made this on the third day. That's why I'm saying they were 24-hour days. You can lay the board on the front lawn for a day and pick it up and take it away, and it won't bother the grass. So, third day, he makes all the plants. Fourth day, he makes the sun. Let's look at that. Genesis 1, 9 through 13. No, I'm sorry. I lost my place there. He made all the plants the third day, and we look at the third. Okay. Now, there was one landmass. Remember I said there was one big continent? I love to share surprises out of the Bible. I like to have you learn something new, because there's all kinds of new stuff in the Bible that you have read, but you haven't read it here. Your eyes went over the words. One big landmass. You say, okay, what happened to that? Look at Genesis 10, verse 25. Look at Genesis 10, verse 25. I'm having fun with this, folks, if you can't tell. God is so neat. He does so much so well. Genesis 10, 25. And unto Eber. Now this is after life has been going on. This is even after the flood. And so after the flood, Genesis 10, 25. And unto Eber were born two sons. And one, the name of one of was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. Just one little statement in the middle of a sentence. That's what broke up the continent. A single continent suddenly drifted into five major continents, a bunch of islands, all these other things. But it happened in his day, under the direction of God. Isn't that neat? How many of you have read that and didn't realize what I was talking about? Huh? Yeah. There it is. God is fixing everything the way he needs it to be. So verses 11 through 13 and talk about the beginning of life here on earth. Let's look now at Genesis 1, 11 through 13. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so, and the earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after his kind. After his kind. Whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So, which came first? The chicken or the egg? The chicken. Okay, God made everything mature. When he made the trees, they were able to produce fruit. When he made the grass, it was able to produce seed. And so he knew how to go about it because he knew it all. Now, it only took 24 hours for a day to go by. One kind of plant could not evolve into another kind of plant. If it was wheat, it produced wheat. If it was an almond tree, it produced almonds. Notice that the earth brought forth the plants at the direction of the Lord. He is the one who created. It did not evolve. That was the third day. Now, plants, like I said, require sunshine. But there was no sunshine at this point. There was the light of God, but there was no sunshine. Well, what's wrong with that picture? Well, there was no sun yet. It had not been created yet. There were no animals to produce carbon dioxide to give the plants food. They were still 2 days from being created. The sun would be created the next day to permit the plants to start their normal way of producing fruit and chemicals. And if we're talking about days being millions of years long, as some people think, the plants would have all died off long before the sun was created. So now we come to Genesis 1, 14 through 19. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. There's that little statement again in the middle of a sentence. He made the stars also. And there are billions of them out there. Billions of stars. And he covers that all by saying, and God made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. No great period of time elapsed. Evening and morning, there it was. And it's important to the born-again believer that he accept what the Bible teaches. Because if any part of the Bible is not true, then none of it is true. None of it can be trusted, including the part about having our sins forgiven by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's why the first 11 chapters of Genesis are so important to all Christians, to all born-again Christians. And if you don't believe them, my friend, you're not saved. Because Jesus is not who he said he is then. The Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts, and we know that the Bible is true if we're born again. So we have the sun and the moon created. They were created in orbit. Just think about this. When God created the sun, he already had the planets orbiting around it. The earth was orbiting around the sun. When he made these things, he made them perfect. Perfect. The orbit didn't wobble. God made everything perfect. And what influences our sun and our moon, that was the rest of the stuff, and he made the stars also. That was all those other galaxies out there. And he did it. Oh, can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven? The beauty that's going to be there. So, he has made everything. He made the sun. Now the sun was there. Now the plants could produce chlorophyll. Now the plants could produce oxygen. And we believe that. Genesis 1, 20 through 23. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowls that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. For all you fishermen out there, here is where God was thinking about you. Okay? He's produced fish. But here's something really interesting. The evolutionists say that one fish evolved into another fish, and a fish is a reptile. It's not a mammal. It says here that he made mammals also. A whale is a mammal. It gives birth to a live baby whale, and it feeds it with milk. Think of all the things that God did that science says, no, it's got to happen this way. It's got to happen over millions of years. No wonder it takes millions and billions of years. That was the only way it could work. But that's not what happened. And so God, on that fifth day, he created fish. He created birds. Now, you fishermen have got something to do, and we Baptist preachers have got something to eat. Chicken, okay? Fried chicken, okay? Now, when God, think about God creating these things. Think about God creating these things. He knew exactly, Jesus was the creator, by the way, and he knew exactly how they should work. He knew that when he created that adult chicken, that adult chicken needed to walk around the yard and pick up little pieces of rock and stone to fill its crop so that it could grind up food once it started eating bugs and worms and all the other things that chickens eat. He knew that that bird had to have a digestive system that could process all that. He knew that it had to produce eggs. He said it would. Fish would produce eggs. Frogs would produce eggs. God made them that way. They did not evolve. How do you evolve from a frog to an egg? You can't. How do you evolve from an egg to a frog? You can't. The frog has to be in that. Just like a human being begins with one cell. God made it all work. He made it all work. Let's finish. We're running short on time. Let's finish up. Genesis 1, 24 and 25. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, you ladies, I want you to note this verse. Just two verses. God made all the animals that live in the air first, in the sea. Then he included a bunch of creepy little things. Those things, we bring the exterminator in once a month to try and get rid of. But God made them. He made that cockroach. He made the spider. All these things are creepy things. These are things that God made and they had a purpose. He even made the Charleston bird, the mosquito. He made all of it. And he made all of it good. Look at the last part of verse 25. And God saw that it was good. And I'm not going to go any further. This is not the end of this sixth day. But we're out of time for this morning. And so we will take this up next Sunday. Any questions on all of this? You see, it all fits together. Because that's what the Bible says. And he has made it good. God made them. And he even made the mosquitoes. He made the roaches. And you don't want to complain about what God has made, do you? Well, you ladies are going to have to take that up with God. Okay. I think this is a good place to stop for this morning. And so when you get home, you thank the Lord for cockroaches and mosquitoes, okay? And we'll get on into this. We will get on into this, folks. There's a lot here in these verses and in these chapters. We're still in the first chapter of Genesis. We're going to be there at least another day. So we will stop here. Let's thank God for what he's doing. Father, thank you for telling us all that you have done. Father, we know that this is for our own benefit. We know that you are simply creating to provide useful instruments for your purpose. And Father, up to now, we haven't seen that purpose thwarted. But as we continue to study, Father, may we see the truth in your word. May we recognize it. May we acknowledge it. May we understand it. And Father, we will praise you for all that you are doing. Because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.